Judah at this time, the time that Zephaniah was writing to them, were a nation living whatever way they pleased. The rule book, the laws had been thrown out. The people were unwilling to hear and to obey the voice of God. They turned their back on God and their lifestyle and in their worship. The worship of God that took place in nothing but name only. They didn't focus upon the Lord. They did what pleased them. They did what was appealing to the flesh. And the true worship of God was not upheld. It was man-centered and man-pleasing. And therefore, the Lord tells them that the time of his visitation is near. He's going to visit them. And for those who are ready and for those who are there, who are saved and who are serving him, it's going to be a time of blessing. But for those who have been turning their back on God, making a mockery of the worship of God, it's going to be a time of great judgment. And that judgment was going to be that the Babylonians were going to come into the land. And they were going to kill many of the people. And they were going to take the rest captive into Babylon. And you know, there's always a great price for sin. There are always great consequences for sin. Oh, you may have lived your life in sin. And you may think, well, you know what? So far, so good. I've got away with it. I'm the exception to the rule. I can live whatever way I want and I'll be okay. But there is always coming the day of God's judgment. The day when we will stand before the throne and give an account of who we are and of what we have done. What type of day was this going to be in the day of Zephaniah? Well, in verse number 15, this is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress. A day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness, a day of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, a day of the trumpet, an alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Time of God's anger. Friend, God's anger is sin. God's anger will be poured out upon sinners. And dear sinner, if you do not trust Christ as your Saviour and the trumpet of the Lord sounds, or if you are called out into eternity and your life comes to an end, you will know God's anger poured upon you. Why? Well, verse number 17, and I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh shall be as a dung. Why is the judgment of God coming? Because men have sinned against the Lord. And there are many people who will hold themselves up to be good people. One of the gangsters in the United States in days gone by, Al Capone, whenever he was cornered with a very gun in his hand out to commit murder, he pleaded that underneath it all he was a pretty decent guy and he was had a heart for others. It's amazing what men will plead about themselves whenever they're backed into a corner and whenever judgment comes. But the Lord declares, because people have sinned, his wrath will fall. Look what it says in verse number 18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of God's wrath. Friend, there's nothing that will cause you to be excused from the judgment of God. You might not be very rich in this world, but you might feel by your attendance at church, by your religion, by your good works, that you're doing something that will please God. But not so. Your silver, nor your gold, nor your good works, or your righteousness, or anything like that, will not be able to deliver you. And in verse number 14, it says, the great day of the Lord is near. And friend, we are nearer than ever before to that time when the Lord will come or call. Now, I've given you a little bit of context and background for the verses that we've read. But there's one little thing that appeared that as I was looking at this, it really was written upon my heart. And I believe this is the message the Lord would have me to leave before you tonight. The Lord says in verse number 8, it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. All such as are clothed with strange apparel. And that's the line I want to leave before you tonight. The Lord is going to punish those who are clothed with strange apparel. It could be also translated foreign garments. In other words, they're not wearing the right clothes. What does the Lord mean by that? Well, Israel was given laws by God about the type of clothing that they were to wear. And if you turn with me to Numbers chapter 15, you will find that it was the duty of some of their people to wear a certain garment. And Numbers chapter 15, verse number 38. Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments through their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your Lord. And what was happened was, there was a band of blue to be placed on the bottom of the garments that the people wore. And that band of blue signified the law of God. And therefore, every time they were getting dressed, or as people were walking down the street and they saw this band of blue, they were to be reminded that the Lord has called them to be holy. And the Lord has given them laws to obey that will honour him. And that's what he said, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, verse 40, and be holy unto your God. And what was the problem in the day of Zephaniah? Those garments with the blue ribbons or the blue border around the bottom, they were at home. That's not what they were wearing anymore. They were wearing the apparel of different lands. We don't know exactly what they were wearing, but it certainly wasn't what God had called them to wear. And therefore, by setting aside this garment, they were setting aside this continual reminder that God has a law for his people to follow. God wants us to be holy. And not only did they set aside the garment, they set aside the standards of God and the holiness of God, and they just lived however they wanted. They sinned against God. You know, as the Lord looked at their clothing, the Lord knew exactly how they stood. Now, the Lord, of course, looks beyond what man can see, and the Lord looks in the heart. But the thing is, your clothing identifies you. And as the Lord looked at Judah at this time, the clothing they were wearing was declaring, we are not followers of God. We do not reverence God. We do not worship God. We are living after idolatry, and we're living after sin, and their clothing marked them. Clothing marks people. The uniform marks the nurse or the policeman or the judge. You're able to tell who they are and what they are by what they wear. The school pupil will be identified by the school uniform that they wear. That's the school that they belong to. That's the area which they live in. I would even go also and say this, your reverence for the Lord is revealed in what you wear as a Christian. And the Bible tells us to be modestly clothed in modest apparel, that we might honour the Lord even by the clothes that we wear. But tonight, as I thought about this thing that the Lord has highlighted, the fact that they were clothed with strange apparel, they had their own clothes on, I want us to think about our spiritual clothing tonight. Because while each one of us tonight are dressed appropriately for the house of God, each one of us are also dressed spiritually. And this preacher cannot see into your heart to see how you stand truly before the Lord. But as the Lord looks upon you, not only does he see the outer garment, he sees the inner garment, the spiritual garment. And you're either tonight wearing the rags of sin, or you're wearing the righteousness of Christ, the robe of the righteousness of Christ. And friend, it's important tonight that you, as an individual, make sure that you are dressed appropriately before God. It's important tonight that you make sure you are wearing the right garment, because the day of the Lord is near. Time is hastening on. The end of time will soon come. It may be in our lifetime. You may be called from this scene of time tonight. You don't know if you'll be in your own bed tonight. The day of the Lord is coming, and you need to be prepared, and you need to be ready. If you turn over with me to Matthew chapter 22, there's a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ taught that really goes along with the verse that we read in Zephaniah. And in Matthew chapter 22, and we want to go down this parable, and I trust the Lord will bless it to our hearts. Verse 1, and Jesus answered and spake unto them by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. You see, there's preparation made here for a royal event, a grand event. No expense was going to be spared, and the invitations were distributed. And I've no doubt that if we got an invitation from Buckingham Palace to attend an event, we would reply and say, yes, we're coming. But those invited to this feast and this wedding refused to come. They said no. They didn't want the provision that was made. They didn't want the invitation. They didn't want the blessing or the honour of being in the king's presence. And you know, as we sit here tonight, there's no logical reason why someone would say no to go into a place of royalty, to go into the palace and to sit with the king and to be part of that celebration. There's no logical reason why not. But remember, this is a parable. And this is speaking about more than Buckingham Palace. This is speaking about the kingdom of heaven and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And God has given out the invitation by his servants and through his word. And the invitation goes to the whosoever to come unto the Lord, to come and feast, to come and be part of that number that will gather in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you know what? There's no logical reason why anybody would say, no, I don't want to go to heaven. No, I don't want the blessing of God. No, I don't want what God has provided for me. But I'll tell you, sin has such a hold on people. The darkness of sin has such a hold on people that they believe they're better off without God. And that's an absolute tragedy. A man or a woman, a young person thinking they don't need God. And if the Lord should take his hand of mercy off of them, they would fall to the ground in death. We need God. We need God to live physically. We need God to live spiritually. And whenever the invitation went out, what happened? There was refusal. Turn with me to verse number 4. Again he sent forth all his servants, saying, tell them what you're bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, and my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. The invitation goes out the second time. And the messengers were given the specific words to say, behold, I have prepared. And it's interesting that they were to look and see the provision that the king had made. Is that not what the preacher does every Lord's Day? He opens the Bible and says, behold. Behold what God has prepared for those that love him. Behold the salvation that God has prepared for those who will turn from their sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the message of the king was this, that all things are ready. All things are ready. Verse number 4. And that's the privilege that I have to tell men and women, boys and girls, the privilege your brother has in the children's meetings and all of our workers have to tell young people, all things are ready. All you have to do is come to Christ and receive of the bounty and the blessing and the provision that he has. We've never been invited to a wedding. When you arrive, you're told you need to prepare them in. Friend, you're not invited to Christ to come and do some work that's going to save your soul. You're invited to Christ to come and enjoy the provision that the Lord has done. We come to receive his work. We come to receive him. We come to depend upon his salvation. Note what this people did. The second opportunity they had, the Bible says that they made light of it in verse number 5. They made light of it. I'll tell you. You see this book? This book is more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. Is this not a reflection of our society today? Is that not what a lot of people are doing today? What do? They make light of it. Oh, wise up. Wise up. That's way in the past. Many times are Christians called dinosaurs in the Bible because they're not relevant. On the radio, because they're not relevant. That's all we ever hear. Oh, you're an old dinosaur. We don't need to hear about you in the Bible. This book's up to date. People are scoffing and mocking and making light of the things of God. And not only that, some of them not only make light of it, others go about their business. Some went to their farm, some went to their merchandise. In other words, they went on about their... They thought the work of the farm was more important. The work of their sales was more important. Building up the bank account and getting the nice clothes and getting the nice home, that's much more important than my soul. But some took it a step further. And some actually killed the messengers that the king sent. Make no mistake, the devil hates the gospel. He hates anything to do with Christ. And throughout history, men and women have been martyred for the sake of the gospel. Their crime telling people that there's a savior who can save them. And the king dealt with the murderers. The king dealt with the murderers. And you know, as we think about this, it's amazing because away in Zephaniah's day, hundreds of years before Christ was born into this world and had his earthly ministry, there was a prophecy given that destruction was coming upon them. And many Bible commentators believe that in this parable that the Lord Jesus Christ was warning Jerusalem that there was going to be judgment come upon them and death and destruction upon them. Why? Because they had killed the prophets. And they had slew those who had come with the gospel. And friend, not only had they done it, they were going to do it again. They were going to kill the Savior. They were going to seek to get rid of him. They were going to lift the stones and hurl them at Stephen outside the city wall. Paul, or Saul as he was before his conversion, what was he out to do? He was out to disrupt the churches, put them into prison, and even put them to death for the preaching of the gospel. And there is a warning here. The Lord is saying, this will be dealt with. And Jerusalem was visited by God. In AD 70, the Romans were allowed to come in and take over the whole place. And they ransacked Jerusalem. The temple was destroyed. It has never been rebuilt to this day. God's judgment did come upon Jerusalem for their wickedness against the preachers of gospel. But there's a third invitation. Verse number 8. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. There's two beautiful things in this third invitation. The Lord says, go. He sends messengers out again. Friend, that is the mercy of God. And maybe before in your life, all you've ever done is rejected the Lord. And yet tonight, he's brought you to a church that's preaching the gospel. Maybe you're watching tonight, and all you've done is reject the Lord. But tonight, you're sitting in front of the screen, and the Lord's saying to you, there's a Savior that can save your soul. Oh, the mercy of God to go again. But notice it says at the end of verse 9, they gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. There's the grace of God. All were welcome to the feast. Now, of course, all are born in sin and shape and iniquity. But humanly speaking, we do call that's a good person, a genuine person, that's a bad person. There are those who are walking the clean side of the broad road. There are those walking the dirty side, as it were, of the broad road. But they're all walking the broad road. They're all on their way to hell. But there's no differentiation made here. The invitation was come. Whether you're bad or good, high or low, rich or poor, whatever you are. And praise God, the invitation goes out to the whosoever tonight. You don't have to be part of a certain church or be part of a certain religion or anything like that. You don't have to be rich or poor, educated or anything. Friend, the word of God says, if you will come, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And that reminds me that when we get to heaven, every seat at the table will be occupied. There'll be no one missing. All for whom Christ has died will be gathered in the wedding feast. And until the last one's gathered in, we will have the opportunity to preach the gospel. But you see, when the last soul's saved, and the last seat is occupied at the table, then the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And then we see another thing that the Lord says here in verse 11. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now this is important, because we're talking about our spiritual clothing. But here's a parable that teaches us about it. He didn't have the right garment on. He came to the place of the king and expected to be part of the celebration and have the blessing and sit in the presence of the king and enjoy everything that was taking place. But he did not have on a wedding garment. Now, there's debate among the commentators whether whenever the king would have given out the invitation, he would have sent a wedding garment and they were expected to wear it. Or perhaps it was that they were expected to dress appropriately for the wedding and bring their own clothes. We don't know. But either way, this man wasn't dressed right. He didn't have on the right garment. And we read in verse 12 that the king saith unto him, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Do you remember what it said back there in Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 7? Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. Some people think, you know, when I get to heaven, I'll tell the Lord exactly what I think, and I'll do this and I'll do that. Friend, no, you'll be speechless. Standing in the awe of the holiness of God, and you and your sin, and your guilt, and your iniquity, and your shame. Friend, you'll not be able to say anything. And not only was he speechless, but in verse 13, the king said to his servant, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." And this man was cast out. Why was he cast out of the wedding? Why was he cast into the place of outer darkness? Because he was wearing the wrong garment. He was wearing the wrong garment. And there's two more verses I want you to turn to tonight. As we think about what we have learned, I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah and the chapter number 64. And Isaiah chapter 64, it tells us a little bit about how God views us. It says in verse number 6 of Isaiah 64, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." We're all unclean. Friend, if you're not saved tonight, you're not washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you do not have a testimony like our brother was able to give when he decided to follow Jesus, then tonight you're unclean. You're in your sin. And even the good things that you seek to do, they're like filthy rags. Filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. You see, some people try and cover their sin. They put on the garment of good works. They put on the garment of religion, the garment of charity. And they try to be good and decent and nice people. But the fact of the matter is this, they're still wearing the rags of their sin. They can do absolutely nothing about them at all. And friend, you know what you need tonight? You need the right garment. You need the right covering, the covering that's pleasing to God, the covering that's acceptable for you to get into heaven, the covering that declares you belong to Him. And if you turn with me to Isaiah 61, just back a couple of chapters, and there's a lovely passage here It says in verse number 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with what? With the garments of salvation. And he hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself, or herself with her jewels. And you know about the wedding, the weddings that take place. And maybe many of you can remember your own wedding. You remember what were you trying to do that day? You were getting ready to come to the church to be joined together in holy matrimony. What were you doing? You were trying to look your best, weren't you? You didn't just throw on a pair of jeans and t-shirt or whatever was left from the night before. You got the best of the best. Money was spent, effort was made, searching was made that you might stand in something that was going to look good and was going to look presentable and was going to show in some way how seriously you're taking this. And it ought to be that as we stand at a wedding, we look upon the bride and the groom, we see the beauty. And as the Lord looks upon his people, and as he sees the garments of salvation and the robes of righteousness, that's beautiful before his eyes. It's the beauty of holiness. It's the beauty of God's salvation. That's what brings joy to the heart of the Lord. Isn't it interesting that the appropriate clothing is referred to as the garments of salvation and the robes of righteousness? I want to make it very clear tonight that the only way you or I will get to heaven is whenever we're robed with the garments of salvation and the righteousness of Christ. Friend, I have gone to Bible college, spent 4 years studying, training for the ministry. Had that been without Christ, I would be no closer to heaven than any other sinner. It's not about what we have done. It's about the fact that we are wearing the garments that Christ has provided for us on the cross. That's what matters. And I wonder tonight, if the Lord were to call you from this scene of time, and your body was to lie still and your soul was to go into eternity, friend, would you go into eternity in the rags of your sin? Because if that's the case, you're going to hell. Or would you go into eternity with the garments of salvation? You know, as God looks upon this gathering tonight, he knows who belong to him. Not because you're sitting in the church, but because you're in Christ and in the garments he has provided. Some years ago, our choir sang a beautiful hymn, His Robes for Mine. And that's exactly what happens when a sinner asks the Lord to save him. He takes our sin and puts it to his account. And he takes his righteousness and puts it to us. And you see, when you're trusting in Christ, you'll be able to say this voice, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in God. Friend, there's no fear now as we stand before God, because the sin that has separated us has been removed. The guilt that has condemned us has been covered. The punishment that faced us has been borne by our Savior. Only Christ can give you these garments tonight. Final verse, and it's in the book of Zechariah, just at the end of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, verse number 4. And here's what the Lord says to the sinner tonight, if you'll come. Here's what the Lord will say to you tonight, if you will come and ask him to save you. He'd say, he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And there's someone tonight in this meeting, you need a change of clothing. Someone tonight watching online, you need a change of clothing. That which you're wearing identifies you with sin, with Satan, and you're bound for hell. But praise God tonight, the Lord himself personally will take the sinful garment from you and give you a change of raiment. You ready for heaven tonight? Are you ready for heaven? Are you ready to go to that place that God has prepared for those that love him? A prepared place for a prepared people? Are you wearing the robe of Christ's righteousness? Are you wearing the garments of salvation? If not, why not come to him now? Why not say, I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed from Calvary. I'm going to leave just this final verse with you, and I'm just going to read it. It's out of Job 8 and verse number 22. And friend, this is a warning for those tonight who say, I will be okay. It says in Job 8 verse 22, they that hate thee shall be clothed with shame. Not only with sin, not only with filthy garments, but friend, you will be clothed with shame. I wonder tonight, as the Lord looks upon your heart, how are you dressed before him? What are you wearing spiritually? Friend, if you're not wearing the right garment, you're not on your way to heaven. If you're not trusting in Christ, there's no hope for you if you die in your sin. But praise God, tonight you've an opportunity to turn and trust. And I pray tonight, if there's one tonight sitting in their sin in God's house, that night you'll call on the Lord to give you that change of clothing, take away your sin, and give you the garments of salvation. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. And in the stillness of this moment, I make myself available. If anybody would like to speak to me about these matters, please make that known, and I would love to take time to speak to you. Maybe there's someone tonight and you realize, well, I need to be saved. The day of God is coming. The day of judgment is coming, and I'm not ready. Praise God, tonight the Lord's standing with arms outstretched. If you will come and put your trust in him, why not call upon him in your seat tonight? Why not call upon him in your home tonight? Get clothed in the right garment. Get ready for heaven.